When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hello, Aston Villa fans, and welcome to For the Love of Paul McGrath podcast. Before I go any further, can everybody hear me? Just want to make sure that obviously, if you're listening back to this podcast or if you're listening back to this in the audio version, no need to answer. I'll have gotten my answer already. But reason I ask about that is I've just done some jiggery pokery. I'm expecting a Rolls Royce of a microphone to come in through the door tomorrow. And I was going to wait on to do this. I'm expecting a sure SB7 to come in tomorrow, or SB8 to come in the door tomorrow. And I'm really looking forward to using it to see if I can change this West Limerick accent that I have here and make it sound somewhere decent. But that's not why we're here tonight to talk about, that's not what we're here to talk about, should I say. But I want to come and last week, I wanted to come on and talk about Guendouzi, but that was the day that everything on my equipment had come a cropper and blown up, essentially, for want of a better word. And I couldn't do it. And I forgot to do it in the interim. So I wanted to come on, and I just wanted to come on in light of the fact that in response to the fact that it's been reported this evening by L'Équipe. It's been reported by L'Équipe that Matteo Guendouzi is still courted by Aston Villa, and he knows that he may be playing his last matches with Olympique Marseille this January. Aston Villa have made him a, in quotes, wonderful offer. Now, a couple of people have asked, are L'Équipe reliable? I suppose they're as reliable as anything else that you'd have out there. They're a historic newspaper. They're a newspaper that's famous for sport. They're a newspaper for that's famous for, rumour has it, they're famous for the Tour de France, being the yellow jerseys within the Tour de France, should I say. But I'm open to, because it used to be printed on yellow paper. So it's a historic newspaper. It's a newspaper that was always revolved around sport. But you guys didn't come here for a history lesson like that with regards to publications within the Gallic nation of France. But I do want to talk about Guendouzi, and I just wanted to kind of come on and give my proper thoughts on him. Even up until last night, I wasn't really sure if this one was still a goer, and I'm still not sure that he comes in through the door. I'm not sure that we don't want him. I think it's very obvious that we do it. The reason that I'm a bit kind of skeptical is it's just I think it's going to be a difficult one to get done. Now, since I did put out this tweet, we've just seen that Morgan Sanson has departed the fray and has gone with his French counterpart in Freddy Guibert and joined Strasbourg. I didn't see Strasbourg being the suitors, but he's gone with a loan option with no buy option, and that in itself I've got thoughts on that myself. I do think that there will be a midfielder come in, but I'm just not sure it's going to be Guendouzi. But if it is, I'd be absolutely delighted because I see some really nice things in his profile and since his move to France that will that I think are exciting and fitting 100% into Unai Emery's plans themselves. Yes, I'm seeing as well, Marseille bought a new midfielder. They bought Ivan Illich from Hellas Verona today, but they've loaned him back for the rest of the season. So he's a next year project for them. It seems that that's what's going to happen. I've only seen it being reported by one outlet, but it seems that that's what's going to happen, that he's going to be loaned back. But they did have a pretty hefty outlay, if I'm not mistaken. It was like 14 million. I'm up with the correction on that one, but it's an interesting one for sure that we need to keep an eye on. A couple of people there asking, has Morgan Sanson gone out and loaned? And once again, L'Equipe have mentioned that Morgan Sanson has signed on loan until the end of the season, no option to buy. So once again, they seem to be breaking all the news tonight. So where to start, I suppose, with Matteo Guendouzi. I think, first of all, a lot of people misunderstand, because you can just go on Wikipedia or wherever and you can see what age he is. But you ever get one of these players that just feels like they're way older than they actually are? And you know, I think when you talk about Guendouzi, you expect him to be an awful lot older than he actually is. And he's still in his formative years. Or, well, he's just past his formative years. And I think a lot of people confuse that with... I think Moussa Dembele is somebody as well that people just expect him to be 30 years of age. Moussa Dembele. Obviously, he's only turning 27. Someone else we've been linked to it as well. But it's because they shot onto the scene at such a young age. Guendouzi making his first appearance at 18 years of age for Lorient. And I think that colours a lot of people's views. He played a lot of games for Lorient. We'll see that in a moment. His split of games when I bring up my stat sheets. And then he moved to Arsenal. He got this big move to Arsenal with Unai Emery. And you know, one of the things I think Unai Emery was infatuated with him at a young age. You know, there's even a quote out there saying that he's an extremely talented young player. A lot of clubs, this is when he signed for Arsenal, he said that Guendouzi is an extremely talented young player. A lot of clubs were interested in him. He has big potential in getting good first team experience last season with Lorient. He wants to learn and improve and will be an important part of our first team squad. Emery wanted to fire him into the limelight at 18 years of age. That shows that he was able to see what this guy could do. As that year transpired, we all know that he had to push him back further into a more defensive role than Guendouzi has played subsequently since leaving Arsenal, and we'll get onto that in a moment as well. And we'll see that in his current numbers, his current statistics definitely show that too, that he's turned himself into that quintessential box-to-box midfielder that has more of a punch on for a pass and a crack at goal than he does for sticking his foot into the back of somebody's calf, like Elianusi did to Jacob Ramsey yesterday. So why I'm mentioning, I suppose, the two differences between those two are that, like, I haven't really, and I would say, like a lot of people, wouldn't really have paid too much attention to his time at Marseille since he left Arsenal, because what we saw him do at Arsenal, he was a square peg in a round hole to fit that kind of position, that more, because he's a dynamo and he's got everlasting energy out there. And, you know, you just see it, that hair flops around everywhere, and he's somebody you can pick up easily, and he's tenacious. He is aggressive. He's an aggressive type of player, but he's when he was put back here, it was really because of his youthful exuberance and his energy to get around there, to cover ground, to try and get in tackles, to get pressures in, and so on. But his real game has kind of blossomed since he's moved to Marseille and he's moved forward. Now, we know about his time at Arsenal ending under Arteta. There was a lot of stuff in the newspapers about him being a bad teammate and this, that, and the other. Young player at the time, he was 19, I think it was, when Arteta joined the club. But then the straw that broke the camel's back was Arteta was obviously trying to weed out the likes of Ozil, the likes of Aubameyang. Apparent anchors around the legs of the club, you know, from a wages point of view, and also probably from an effort point of view for Arsenal at that period of time. You know, there was protracted contract negotiations seasons previous for both of those players, and then all of a sudden, the effort and the attitude in the field may not have matched those contract negotiations. And then Guendouzi kind of gets involved in a pretty silly kind of spat with Neil Maupay on the field, grabs him by the throat, tells him a couple of home truths, but like we'd all like to do with Neil Maupay, and says something stupid like a teenager would say to somebody. Started mentioning stuff about, you know, you've just come up from the league below, my pay packet is probably bigger than yours, etc., 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 I'm only 19, whatever it was said. Something along those lines. Arteta didn't take kindly to it, and I think when he was taking a very broad brush to the dressing room, he decided, listen, if it's not going to just be the older guys that are going, younger guys are going to go too. And that's what happened. And Guendouzi was loaned out to Hertha Berlin. I'm not going to say that Guendouzi, like, I would imagine that there was a falling out between the two people at that stage, and he got his move to Marseille. Since he's moved to Marseille, he's become a father, he's become a French international. I've mentioned that a couple of times. At a young age, I would imagine, I didn't have kids young, but at a young age, I would imagine when you have children, a life perspective, and I would have hoped I would have been the same, that a kind of a calming influence would come over you, because you're not just looking after you and yourself, you're looking after a family. And that seems to be what's happened at Marseille. He's not one of these people who's seen as a bad teammate there. I've seen stuff in the Sun and the English side that, oh, he might be a bad teammate. And then you go, why? And then you look into the article and it's like, there's nothing of the sort in there written about it as to why he would be a bad teammate. That's something that I saw written after he was linked with Aston Villa. And I was kind of going, this is just lazy. But then again, you know, as I say, paper never refused ink. Another story about him, and something that has come up quite a lot when people are trying to stand up for him and to say he is a good teammate, is, and I mentioned this with Fintan O'Reilly, who I'm actually going to pop in his article into the chat here. Oh, you guys are getting a treat tonight. This is Fintan's article on football analysis. Have a look at it as well, because there's some really good stuff in here. But myself and Fintan were talking about this. I didn't go back and clarify what game it was, but the fans attacked Dimitri Payet, not the Marseille fans, the opposing fans attacked Dimitri Payet when he was in the corner of the... he was taking a corner, they threw bottles at him. I think he threw a bottle back at them, and all hell broke loose. Guendouzi jumped in for Payet there, and ended up actually getting grabbed by the neck so much by the other fans that he had marks, strangulation marks on his neck. But he jumped in for a fellow teammate. Now, I know it's a different situation, but all things point to the fact that he's becoming he's started to become a role model, started to become one of the leaders in the dressing room for Marseille. And, you know, younger players, Marseille has got a lot of younger players coming up through the ranks there as well, and that they can see Guendouzi, albeit a 23-year-old, 23-year-old at the moment. He's broke into the France team. You know, he could be a template. He wasn't getting into the French team when he was with Arsenal. He's moved to France. He's rebuilt his career in France. He's playing a completely different position, and he goes to a World Cup and arguably should have been starting in that Adrien Rabiot position. But he wasn't. And that's a story for another day, I would imagine, because Rabiot went on and had a pretty decent World Cup. So fair play to Deschamps for that. So we come to Sunday, the 22nd of January, and he's linked with Aston Villa again. And that's that. The reason I wanted to get to it was because all those little bits and pieces that we hear, and all those little bits and pieces that people remember, and me included, this isn't me saying anybody's wrong or anything like that. Because when we were first linked with Guendouzi, I'll be honest with you, I didn't pay an awful lot of attention to him in France. And I immediately jumped to the, is he a bad egg conclusion? But the more I've read into it, the more people I've talked to, the more that I've seen, the more articles I've read about him, that doesn't seem to be the case at all. And then also you look at it and you go, we don't need another number six. And then you look at those articles and you look at all the statistics. I've looked at footage of him playing and I go, well, he's not number six. So it's absolutely fine. So, well, now I can see the method behind this link. And that's what I wanted to come on and talk about first. And I'm 13 minutes talking about there. And I wanted to kind of get it all out in one little blurb first, because I've touched on it a couple of times and you guys have asked about it in podcasts before. And I wanted to get my thought process from A to Z out there with regards to why I think that this is a good move before we look at some of the slides that I'm going to bring up in a moment. And before we do look at some of those slides, let me take a little look at some of your comments, because, whoa, there's a ton of you guys on here. Thank you so much for jumping on. If you haven't been here before, give us a thumbs up. Be very good. If you could consider clicking on the subscribe button, we're nearly at 5K. We're about 240 subscriptions away from 5K. I don't know what's going to happen at 5K. Probably nothing. Probably just it turns to 50000, but seems like a nice round number anyway. But if you could, if you are not a subscriber already, just clicking that costs you nothing, you know, and puts a smile on my face. But let's have a little look at some of your comments. Whoa, there's a lot of comments saying that, yes, you can hear me. That's probably where all the comments from. Yes, so Ian says, I think he would primarily be brought in as an eight, which means to me that the one under most threat here as a starter is Luis. I like the fact that he's versatile, so can fill in other areas as and when needed. Stand by, Ian. I might have somebody that might be under pressure a small bit more than Douglas Luiz in this instance. David Tomeski says, intro music was just right tonight. That has been the biggest trial and error over the last 2.5 years of doing this podcast, is getting the sound levels of the intro music. I am not a sound genius. I don't know what I'm doing it. I don't know what I'm doing with that stuff. And it's really just trial and error. So thanks for bearing with me with regards to that. And you were booking a doctor's appointment. I actually listened back to yesterday's podcast just to see if the sound levels were right. I could barely hear myself talking on that podcast as well. The sound was really low. I had to correct the audio somehow and put it out again. So if anybody's wondering why the audio version of the podcast went out twice, that's why. For some reason, the audio was drastically low on it yesterday. So I do apologize for that. Where else are we? So Renewed RS says, who do we drop for Guendouzi? Does he play a wide left centre midfield in our 4-4-2? I pictured him more as a Douglas Luiz type, well-rounded player, but see people call him a 10. On the way. My thoughts on that are beyond the way as well. Jimmy Danger says, did you see that Myles Garrett was in the away end for... Yes, I did. He's better half is... the head nutritionist, I think, or the head is something to do with sports science department with Aston Villa as well. Yeah. So, he's a converted villain. And I'll tell you, be honest with you, he tried to put on a disguise. He tried to put his hood up so no one would recognize him. You can't not recognize Myles Garrett once you've seen him once. He's the freakiest size of a man you will ever see in your life. An absolute, it's like he was created in a lab. So if anybody hasn't seen those pictures of Myles Garrett, Cleveland Browns defensive end and one of the best defensive ends in NFL, then take a look at it, because he's a scary size of a man. Anyway, back to matters at hand. Just going to script down or scroll down here, should I say. People asking there about how much would he cost? I don't know. There's talks about I've seen anywhere between 30 and 50 million. So I've no idea what the money is going to be like. I'd imagine, like we saw, that Danny Ings was bought for what, 30 million, but it actually turned out it was 18 with a ton of add-ons. So, or I think it was 20 with a ton of add-ons. So when we actually sold him, we only lost 8 million. It was like an £8 million for a year and a half loan fee. I think someone had it as. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure as well. I think we might have some Marseille fans in here as well, do we? No, we don't. The guys were talking about Sanson. Yes, so Sanson, as I say, looks like he is gone out on loan at the moment, just in case anybody missed that. Anyway, okay, so I'm going to run on. I'm going to jump in here. And by the way, as well, I meant to mention this. One of the only reasons I decided to put this podcast on is because anybody here in the UK, anybody who is here, Love Island is back on TV, and I don't got time to be watching Love Island. So that's why I'm here tonight with all of you beautiful people, all 327 of you that are now watching the podcast. Thank you so much. Anyway, Guendouzi, let's take a look at him. I'm praying to God that the slides are in the right order here. So Matteo Guendouzi, L'Equipe are linking him with us at the moment. Let's take a little look at some of his statistics. And this is how I have put him up here. And I don't have Boubacar Camara in here because we're not dropping him for Boubacar Camara. In fact, if anything, he's coming in because of Boubacar Camara, because they had a burgeoning relationship. They had a beautiful partnership. Not the partnership that people would think is in the two of them playing right alongside each other in the centre of that midfield. But they did play in the centre in the midfield positions, if that makes sense, for Marseille. If any of you saw that cool TikTok there, when I think it must have been before the end of last season, Digne was meeting up with some of the French guys for an international window, and Boubacar Camara it was announced that he was signing for Aston Villa, and Camara and Guendouzi got out of the same car together, and Digne was getting out of a car behind them, and he said, "Hey, Matteo, stop talking to our player. He's our player now. You're not allowed to talk to him." And it could be interesting that the three of those could all be on the same team together. I just thought that was quite cool. It was just a nice little moment. If anybody hasn't seen it, it's floating around there on Twitter. But as I mentioned, Guendouzi, he's 6 foot and 1/2 of an inch. He's right-footed, and his date of birth is the 14th of the 4th, 1999. I have him here as a central midfielder / wide midfielder. And why have I him down as that? And the reason you'll see below is, look at his heat map. Very right side dominant. No, sorry, this is his heat map for 2021-2022, the season just gone, when he did play with Boubacar Camara. And the reason I wanted to take that is because he's had an injury this season that kept him out for a short period of time. Nothing massive or anything to worry about or whatever. Also, the World Cup has kind of kept him out of action too. So it was a small sample set to look at how he's played this season. Also, last season, as I say, was one of his best seasons on record. So I wanted to take that and see what it looked like from the point of view of how we fit into this Aston Villa team. And just look at that, heat map. That's how I think he's going to fit into this Aston Villa team. A wide midfielder, a John McGinn, not going to say a John McGinn replacement, because yes, John McGinn has played out there and Leon Bailey has played out there at times, and if another striker comes in. But I think that we'll see rotation within that midfield, and not just rotation about player in, player out, but I think we'll see fluidity in that midfield. I've no reason to believe that John McGinn couldn't switch over to the left-hand side if we wanted to play four centre midfielders across the middle, as opposed to Buendia playing over there or Jacob Ramsey playing over there. Options are what we're going to need in this midfield. We all lamented the midfield that we had out against the midfield we had on the bench, should I say, or the substitutes we had on the bench against Southampton yesterday. And you bring back a John McGinn into that fold. Maybe you have a Buendia in there. Maybe Coutinho makes his way back to Brazil. Even at that stage, even if we keep him, you know, we have options on the bench and things are looking a small bit more experienced and a small bit more sturdy. So from my point of view, I think that this Guendouzi would be somebody who might come in to play that right-hand side of midfield. So I don't think he's a Luis replacement. I think he's more of a John McGinn replacement. And when I say replacement, I mean a John McGinn competitor, because I don't think we're going to see John McGinn go anywhere, obviously, in this transfer window. And I think John McGinn has shown some good strides over the course of the time Unai Emery has been in here, that he could very, very easily stick around for next season. You know, he's captain when he comes back, I would imagine, even though Emi Martinez is holding on to the armband. Now, would I make that change to make him captain again? No, but I think the reason that I'm coming down on that line is because because of the big song and dance at the start of this year about not having Mings as captain. You know, if we were to change captain, take it away from him again, I just think it's a song and dance situation again. And look, we'll see. It's irrelevant. A lot of it is irrelevant, actually. I don't even know why I brought it up. So Guendouzi is that guy who will come in there. So let's take a little look at his statistics. These are his statistics over the last 365 days. So the defensive midfielder, the wall in the middle of the defenders, in the front of the defenders, the people, and me included, might have associated Matteo Guendouzi as when he was with Arsenal. It's mythical. It's not a thing. He played in that position. He wasn't a defensive midfielder. He was more of a gets around the field guy. He's come on to be a gets around the field guy. His heat map shows it since he's moved to Marseille. And this is, remember, guys, this is the heat map that he played when he played beside Boubacar Camara as well. So he's not usurping Boubacar Camara, because hell, he's like, why would you take the best thing since sliced bread out of our midfield? But this makes a lot of sense. I'm actually going to just completely go past the defensive stats because they're just there as a way to show, a way to show that he isn't that defensive midfielder that I would have thought he was up until maybe about 4 weeks ago when stuff like this started to rumble about. Passing statistics is somewhere that I think is really, really interesting. So he attempts 56.74 passes, puts him up in the top third of midfielders in the whole of Europe. Pass completion is quite high, 85.9%. The only person who had a pass completion like that last season, or sorry, the only two players that had it were Douglas Luiz and Jacob Ramsey. You know, so he's a better pass completion rate than those two guys at this moment, or he had that last year. So that's progressive for me as well. Progressive passes, once more, makes more of those than anybody in our team. And I was actually, whenever I look at this graph, it always blinds me as well, because John McGinn would not have been the guy I would have had down to have the most progressive passes within our midfield, or within that midfield three. And then you see Guendouzi is in there and he even blows that out of the water again. A full, almost a full one. And I know that doesn't seem an awful lot, but that one progressive pass could be a key pass that leads to a goal. And he has one more of those per 90 minutes than any of our players. And what blows my mind as well is how low Jacob Ramsey's is, his progressive passes. You know, so he's more of a ball carrier. Remember that, Jesse? Jacob Ramsey is a ball carrier. So like-for-like player, we don't really have that in midfield, as you guys have heard me say before. So when Guendouzi comes into that right-hand side, he's more of a ball progressor, albeit that he can carry the ball as well. Shot-creating actions, goal-creating actions are up there as well in the top 30%. You know, so he's showing his playmaking abilities there from that wide midfield position. And as I said, his progressive passes are the one that really jumps off the page there for me. Possession stats, we're actually going to look at passing stats, and we're going to look at his shooting stats in particular in a moment. But his possession stats, 64.48 touches per game, which is quite a decent amount of touches, puts him up there once again in the top third of midfielders in Europe. Dribbles completed, you know, he completes 46% of all dribbles taken. Yeah, which gives him a 47.8% success rate. You know, so he does attempt dribbles. He may not be the most successful dribbler, and that's why I wanted to bring your attention to progressive passes and his progressive passing distance along with his pass completion rate. So he can carry the ball out of trouble, but he tends to pass that ball out of trouble more often than not. From a ball recovery point of view, he recovers at 5.7. I think that I have forgotten to do to update the slider there for the ball recoveries. Let me just check that, if you guys don't mind. So these things happen on live podcasts. Let me just check. So ball recoveries.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
No, I did. It's correct. 27%. So once again, it goes to the point that I mentioned, that he's not this tenacious tackler in the middle of midfield. He much prefers to get that ball forward, and he's much more of a passer of the ball. And his aerial percentage there, winning the ball in the air, 36.5%. Obviously, he's played a lot out in the wing as that wide midfielder, so you would expect him to get less opportunities to head the ball when you're out there. And plus, I wouldn't go heading the ball with a lovely, lovely set of ringlets like that either. So, you know, man's got to do what a man's got to do to protect his beautiful hair. So that's basically a very, very much an overview showing where he comes in with regards to the players that we have. Obviously, I've mentioned before on the defensive side of things, he's much further down the pecking order. He's the lowest amount of tackles amongst the four players you can see there. Excuse me. Interceptions wise, he comes in around the same as the guys that are there. Same as recoveries. So we're not losing an awful lot from the interceptions and recoveries, even though he is only in the bottom quartile of those within midfielders in Europe. Successful dribbles. Once again, I've mentioned that Jacob Ramsey likes to be a ball progressor and a ball carrier, and he does, but it doesn't mean he's always successful with it. Guendouzi comes in at the same, and a stat that always blows my mind there is the John McGinn dribble success rate, which is quite impressive. Shot creating actions, progressive passes, pass percentage, and pass attempts are all big, big numbers there. They're all far outweighing the players that we have, and that's exactly where I want you guys to shift your mindset with regards to Guendouzi as to what he's brought to Marseille and why I think Unai Emery wants him to come into Aston Villa to replicate that down at B6. So I've got another slide here as well that I want to show you guys, and it is just some more passing statistics as well, just so that we can say, oh, look at that. I've forgotten to do the percentages there. So bear with me, guys. If you're watching this, bear with me and I'll bring up those percentages because it does look like I've forgotten to fill in the pass percentages and the key passes and all that jazz that's there. So looking at his career statistics first, his appearances are 216 appearances in total, 172 starts and 15,860 minutes, and he's only 23 years of age. That's a lot of minutes. That is a lot of minutes. He scored 12 goals, 21 assists. And there's the breakdown of the clubs that he was at, what age he was at those clubs. So Lorient, 17, he was 17, 18. That was the age he was. He had 29 appearances and one assist. Arsenal, he was 19 and 20. That was the age he was. 82 appearances, one goal, four assists. Hertha Berlin, 21 was what age he was. 24 appearances, two goals, one assist. And then at Marseille, we can see he's at 82 appearances, nine goals and 15 assists in all competitions. So fair play to him on that. That's been really impressive. Looking at his pass completion, passing numbers. Actually, do you know what? I'm not even going to look at that because all those numbers are fucking wrong. Excuse me, guys. That's what I get for bringing up the wrongs that are the wrong sheet here in front of me. So forget you saw that, and I don't care. But what let me tell you guys is that his passing and his shooting statistics are really good. And you can look them up on FBref because that's where I was taking the numbers from. And with that in mind, I am just going to share up FBref because it'll make it an awful lot easier. Sometimes you gotta work with what you have, and when you make a mistake, you gotta admit it, and that's fine. That's cool with me. So let me just bring up these numbers that I wanted to show you guys on FBref. I think you guys can see that. Can you see it well enough? So what I wanted to look at here was regards to these passing statistics. So look at all that lovely, lovely green stuff, guys. That's what I'm getting at here regards to Guendouzi. Passes completed, 48.75. He puts him in the 72nd percentile. Pass completion rate, 75th percentile there. But what I wanted to show you here is the three different areas. His pass percentage in the short range is 91.7%. Pass completion in the medium range is 88.9%. And his pass completion in the long range is 78.6%. All pretty decent numbers. And when we're looking at him as a essentially a playmaker wide out there, I think that that's something to bear in mind as well. His shooting statistics were the other one I wanted to look at here. His goals for a midfielder, 0.14, doesn't look like a big number, but that's goals per 90 minutes. Puts him up in the top quartile of midfielders there. Total shots on target, all this beautiful stuff here we can see as well are all decent numbers. Average shot distance, 19 yards, which means that when he does shoot, it's usually from outside the box. So he's not a ghost into the back post. We mentioned about Weston McKennie previously, that Weston McKennie likes to get on the end of stuff. He likes to get ghost into the back post and do almost like his Trezeguet tribute act at times, albeit that it's more measured over there in Italy. But this guy, Guendouzi, likes to shoot from outside the box. And you can see that by his average shot distance here as well. So there are a lot of interesting things with regards to Guendouzi. I do apologize for not having these in a slide. Big error on my behalf. So I do apologize for that. And it won't happen again. Okay, it won't happen again. I blame Love Island for this because that's why this is rushed. Let me look at some of your some more of your comments there, and we will see if we can get. Sarko says our squad is becoming more and more threadbare unless McGinn returning effectively kills any chance of Sanson playing, and Emery would rather divert the funds to a striker. Well, Sanson now is gone. You may have heard me mention earlier. Looks like he's gone to Strasbourg. So that's one less player I think that's in there, and that's what makes me think that. That's what's made me look at clearing my calendar for the week because I think we might be busy. I think there's always a possibility we could be busy considering that we didn't exactly have the most expansive squad as it was. And now we've lost Danny Ings, Morgan Sanson. And, I thought we would have brought in one, maybe two players anyway with those two guys in the squad. So I would imagine we will definitely bring in one, maybe two, one or two players this week to let them bed in then over the course of the next week as well. So going to be interesting and see what Aston Villa could do. Mark Davis says, a solid signing that I bet Kamara will love. Height, speed, strength are more of a threat than people will realise. I don't care what it costs, to be honest. He's of that age and will do well long term. Yeah, that's kind of where I come down as well. He's a nice age. He's a nice age to be spending 30 million or 40 million on somebody. Albeit there's always a risk with that amount of money. He's a nice age to be spending that money on because, you know, if he has one or two good seasons and he moves on again, which the propensity of players, if we don't get into Europe, will always be there to do that. Well, then you have your, you know, you recoup the money that you have plus amortization means that you have a massive plus point on your balance sheet then afterwards. So it could be something there. Josh Norris, good to see you, Josh. Josh, I thought you'd be stuck into the Cincinnati Bengals and the Bills tonight. I thought you'd be too busy watching that. Thanks for watching this instead. Not just his personality. He might be misunderstood, but I think his possible role here too. I think most view him as an out-and-out midfielder, but lining up in the right midfield spot here seems ideal. Absolutely. I agree with that as well. Where else are we going there? Mark Davis makes a good point here, I suppose, with the squad in general, that Martinez behind, say, Carlos and Mings with Luis Camara and Guendouzi would be such a solid defensive spine. I think what it would also be is it would be an energetic midfield. Like, I know we talk about Jacob Ramsey, I know we talk and John McGinn, but could you imagine John McGinn in there with those three other guys that you've mentioned? You're not going to get overrun, like outrun, should I say, in midfield. Certainly not going to get outrun with those guys. Yeah, you might get out passed. You might get passed through and, you know, we could have bad days or whatever like that. But there's legs. There's meters to be ran in those four guys. And you know, hard work sometimes gets you over the line in games. So the rotation of midfielders we have there could be horses for courses situation. You know, should when I really need it. And Richie Ryan says Guendouzi's passing range is savage and he's tough in the tackle. He can tackle. I think I want to get that across to everybody. We've seen him tackle for in an Arsenal shirt. It's just he hasn't tasked with doing it as much with Marseille. If the game is getting a bit out of hand, you know, if the game is beginning to turn and some teams are trying to rough you up, yeah, this guy's going to fight for you, but he's one of those guys that you want him fighting for you as opposed to fighting against you. Because we saw when he came on for Arsenal against Aston Villa and completely turned that game before he left. You know, he can be a catalyst with his rambunctious behavior on the field, if you want to call it that word. And you'd much prefer to have those players for you than have them against you. And remember, guys, as I said, we need to become a team that stands out from the rest. And if it ends up being one of those teams that doesn't care what anybody else thinks about them and continues to get results, then I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that as well. Where else are we? John Steele says Villa Park is Love Island. I love it. I bet you many a person has found their match in Villa Park and ended up finding the one for them within those 42,000 plus seats in Villa Park. So it's definitely one I think that I couldn't disprove. Somebody's mentioning about Anthony Gordon here. Interesting one. Anthony Gordon is one of the worst passers of a ball in the whole of Europe, statistically. And that, for that reason, I cannot see why. Bear with me. I'm not just saying that to be hyperbolic. I did say hyperbolic. I know a lot of you thinking other things. Let me just bring this up. Versus midfielders. Okay, so Anthony Gordon versus midfielders in Europe. Want to see his passing statistics? Just in case people don't believe me. There's his passing statistics against midfielders in Europe. A lot of single numbers there, guys. Not a single number. So I'd have concerns about Anthony Gordon. I'd have concerns just from that point of view of fitting into our team. Now, obviously, look, he has played out in the wing a small bit. Oh, sorry, that was against... it's even worse. That was there were his numbers as an attacking midfielder or a winger. That was his numbers as an attacking midfielder or a winger. Watch his numbers as a midfielder. Ha! It's like my school report card. Ones all over the place there. Like, look, I just don't think he's what... like, if there is any bit of statistical scouting or anything going on at Villa Park, I think they're looking at that and they're going, I don't know, and I'm certainly not paying 50, 60 million for that. That, let Chelsea do that. And he might turn out to be fantastic. This is me not denigrating him in any way, shape, or form. But for me, I think a passer, we need a passer of the ball. We need a passer in there in the team. And look at that, 66.45 yards of passing, progressive passing distance, as opposed to over 200 for Guendouzi. You know, we need players who can progress that ball forward. And this Anthony Gordon over the last year just hasn't been it. Now, may go on to be a fantastic player. I just don't think he fits what Aston Villa want to do. But a great question, Captain K. Love it. Matthew, thanks so much. Points for covering podcasters. Or maybe no point today. Thanks so much, Matthew. I really appreciate that. There's Cheat is mentioning here about Guendouzi and Anouai would be class. I just can't see that the Moroccan guy coming in. I don't know. Just because I just don't know, I haven't seen enough of him being linked. And I think that he's been linked to the likes of Leeds, likes of Napoli, the likes of Paris Saint-Germain. Not that we couldn't gazump to all those teams and sign him. I've seen us linked with him once. Let's see what happens when he comes in. And Fintan, if you guys haven't seen the podcast we did on Moussa Dembele, Fintan O'Reilly, and should we sign Guendouzi, I will get Fintan back on again to talk about his tactical analysis of him and what he's seen of any of the French players that we've signed, because Fintan's a super guy, works for Total Football Analysis. And as I say, if you guys want to scroll back up, you'll see I linked his article inside here as well. He's a great guy, so please give that a click. But he thinks that Anouai will be very much more of an attacking type midfielder, and don't expect much of anything about him going backwards as well. So I think maybe the two of them might be too similar, I think, to come in together. But once again, you know, you're better looking at these players than looking for them, especially somebody who had such a good World Cup as Anouai. Couple of more comments there, and I might have to let you go then, guys. Where are we? Yeah, Andy Vale remembers... Andy Vale remembers he beat us single-handedly at the Emirates 3 or 4 years ago. It was the best individual performance I can remember against Aston Villa. I go so far as to say it was definitely the most annoying performance. And the reason it was annoying was because it was... It was such a good tactical substitution and such a good substitution that it turned the game in its head that you kind of look at it and you go, you can clearly pinpoint where we lost our way. And it was when that guy came onto the field. And he was only 20 years of age. 19, 20 years of age. I think he might have actually only been 19. So there we go. That to me is interesting. And once again, let's not forget how young Guendouzi actually still is. Where are we? Where else are we here? A couple of more comments. I see a couple of people are liking my team tune for passing time and doing stuff. That happens naturally. I apologize. Ozzy Austin says, I still think we need a quality centre back alongside Mings. Not convinced of Konsa this season. I know Carlos will be back at some point, but Hoyle down the line before he'll be up to speed. I 100% agree about Carlos, and I 100% agree about a centre back. I think I've said before, I think there could be the start of major surgery on this whole defence in the off-season. Rumours that Callum Chambers has been shopped at the moment, and if they can get a move for him, You'd have to think they'd have to bring someone else back in. I can't imagine that anybody's too happy with Jan Benrak being being the man to come in if Tyrone Mings or Ezri Konsa gets injured. Touch wood, that doesn't happen. So I actually think we're already threadbare at centre half, because I don't think anyone believes in Benrak at the club. And if they're shopping Callum Chambers and they get what they want for him, it's Josh Feeney next. So something to think about there for sure, Ozzy. I don't think it's going to be top of our list. In obviously in this transfer window, I think the attack is top of our list for obvious reasons, because we're threadbare there. We're really threadbare there. We can suffice with our centre half options. But I think going forward, the start of the major open heart surgery on the defence will probably happen in earnest come June, July this season. And I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised for that. Even though a lot of those players will come back, I wouldn't be surprised to see the rotation and the churn underneath them to be turned big style. Because I think it has to happen at some stage. A lot of players there 30 and above, and defenders can drop off a cliff sometimes. Albeit Ashley Young is still only halfway up the mountain. I'd say he could play at least about 55 at this stage, the way things are going. But good thinking. Yeah, I'm on that as well. That bandwagon as well, that at some stage centre halves are going to be at the top of the list once more. Right, I think we're going to call it at that there, guys, because I'll only very much start to ramble otherwise. But yes, the final and to surmise with regards to Guendouzi, nothing massively concrete yet. If for anybody who's joining this late, I had promised to do this about 10 days ago, but for reasons being my equipment got fried in a lightning strike, would you believe? And therefore, I wasn't able to do it on that day. So I'm just really circling back to it now in light of the new L'Equipe article with regards to him being linked, and that he thinks that he may be playing his last few games for Marseille this January, and the potential is that there's a transfer on the horizon. Whether it happens or not, I don't know. But he's an interesting player, and as I say, I think he comes in, he plays that right wide midfielder role, and with his effort and endeavour and what we've just learned so far about his passing ability and his forward play and his progressive play, should I say, I think people should kind of look at him in a different light. And once again, he's a French international, and I think that he's going to see a lot of time under Didier Deschamps now, between now and the build-up to the Euros, to the next European competition, because, as I say, there are players on that team that are getting up there. The likes of Griezmann won't be playing back in the central midfield role, I don't think, come the next Euros. And obviously the likes of Rabiot, and those are over, touching 30, if not over it. So in 2 years' time, Guendouzi would be primed to take one of those spots, you would imagine. And what better place to do it than in the claret and blue of Aston Villa? And if that isn't the carrot enough for him to come to Villa Park and to push into that squad alongside Boubacar Kamara, alongside Luka Dean, and maybe, who knows, if we sign Moussa Dembele alongside Moussa Dembele as well, although I think that one would be a surprise given the striking talent that they have. But I think it's an interesting proposal for Guendouzi to accept. So going to leave it at that, guys. God, I did 45 minutes and it feels like it was about 15. So, but thanks ever so much, everybody, for watching. 350 of you, that's amazing. I didn't know there was 350 people out there who didn't like Love Island as much as I do on a Sunday afternoon. But I really appreciate your time. Thanks a million for sticking with me. And I do apologize for my slides being incorrect earlier on. But we got the information we needed. Anyway, so it's all good. But I appreciate that. Thanks so much, everybody, for your time. Please like this. If you do like it, should I say, please give it a thumbs up. If you're not a subscriber, please subscribe. We'll be back again in the coming... Oh, I do have something for you. I'm hoping on Tuesday to have somebody come in here, a special guest to come in here and talk about a really interesting Aston Villa project that's going on at the moment. So if you guys are around on Tuesday afternoon, I think it would be good, because he's coming in to talk about a project that is still in the formation of trying to get off the ground, and I'm really looking forward to what he has to say. So keep that one in mind and look out to Twitter with regards to more information on that. But until then, everybody, stay safe, stay healthy, and stay curious about any of these links. I think there's going to be tons of them. And until the next time we talk, everybody, all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.